catch me if you can.
You are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. I'm joined by Brandon C. Price. I'm Esmeralda, I don't even know what word I was going to, what name I was going to call you. It was like Esmeralda. Esmeralda, Leon is in traffic. Craig Collins is the voice you'll hear if you call, and he's running the show. Esmeralda, do you have any, because I've been hearing all weekend memories that people have about Muhammad Ali, and I think you and Craig are a little bit younger than, well, and Brandon, too. You guys are all a little bit younger than me. Do you? I mean, because for you guys, I think he was retired pretty much your entire lives, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
The only memories I really have of him is, honestly, the things, the iconic phrases that he had when he was at the height of his mm-hmm. boxing career. You know, you always say that if, you know, you're going to do something silly boxing-wise, you're like,
yes.
You sting like a bee. Like, that's always a big thing. So it's insane that's always been in at least my vernacular.
Yes, I think so. I think that he permeated every aspect of, I mean, in the world. He was just one of the greatest athletes in the world. And for me, I mean, toward the end of his career, I think I remember a little bit of that. I remember a little bit of him and Howard Cosell kind of having this really sort of amusing, cantankerous relationship with each other. But Muhammad Ali had so many great things to say, and so many great memories have been shared over the weekend on every news outlet, every media page. So I really was thrilled to hear that there was an interview with Roy Leonard interviewing Muhammad Ali from 1977. And I thought the best way for us to remember Muhammad Ali was to play some of Roy Leonard.
Muhammad Ali is our guest today on the Roy Leonard Show. And by the way, will you put that date down now, December the 2nd? Because for the Children's Institute, Ali is going to do an exhibition with Scott Ledoux at the Auditorium Theater. You can be there. In fact, you should be there 1 week from tonight, because it's a benefit for the Children's Institute on West Belmont. Tickets are $100, $40, $20. And I'm going to give you a phone number that you can call this morning to get your tickets. Will you do that? 346-2727. Now, that's a number you call to get your tickets for the exhibition a week from tonight. 346-2727. Champ, you were telling me that you and Scott are going to really go at it in this exhibition. In fact, you'd like to knock him out. He'd like to.
I'm going to tell you how the fight will sound.
Oh, we can do the whole thing for
those of you all who right. won't be able to see it.
Can you do it like Howard does it?
Ali comes out to meet Ledoux, but Ledoux starts to retreat. If he goes back an inch farther, he'll wind up in a ringside seat. Ali swings with a left. Ali swings with a right. Look at Ali carry the fight. Ledoux keeps backing, but there's not enough room. It's a matter of time. There Ali lowers the boom. Now Ali lands with a right. What a beautiful swing, and the punch lifts Ledoux clean out of the ring. Ledoux is still rising, but the ref wears a frown, for he can't start counting till Ledoux comes down. Now Ledoux disappears from view. The crowd is getting frantic, but our radar stations have picked him up. He is somewhere over the Atlantic. Who would have dreamed when they came to the fight that they witnessed the launching of a white satellite?
Yes. Oh, that's super. Some applause.
The crowd did not dream when they came to the fight that they witnessed the launching of Ledoux's satellite.
You know, I just read somewhere that you were going to record that very famous story of Peter and the Wolf. Is that true?
Peter and the Wolf, yeah. We have a big English company wants me to do it. We'll negotiate with them now.
That'd be super, yeah. Get a big symphony orchestra
yeah,
behind
they're
you.
Yeah, they're going to do all that.
Listen, we got to take a break for these commercials, and I know you're
Why right. do you do some of the commercials, man?
Because a lot of people listen, and if we didn't have commercials, neither of us would be here. That's why. Mike, thanks for waiting. Did you have a question for the champ?
I sure did. First, I'd like to say that I'm really in awe at the way you've managed to reach people. And
thank you.
I'd like to, you know, I just thought I'd say that.
Thank you.
And the question is, the games you play in the ring with your opponents, the faces and the, you know, rope-a-dope and all that, do you have that all planned out ahead of time, or does that sort of come up as the situation calls for it?
I make plans on what I'm going to do. Sometimes this might work, sometimes it don't work. Calling the fighters various names like Liston the Bear, Floyd Patterson the Rabbit, and Foreman the Mummy, Frazier the Gorilla, Schaefer the Acorn. Sometimes it affects them, makes them angry. When they get angry, you can control them easily if you lose the cool. And the faces and things, just salesmanship, is just publicity. This is why they pay me higher than any athlete in the history of the world. And this is why I draw so many people, is because of the imagination. I wrote something once. It says, the man who has no imagination stands on the earth. He has no wings, he cannot fly. I repeat, the man who has no imagination stands on the earth. He has no wings, he cannot fly. Columbus had imagination.
Did you know Wright brothers had imagination?
I read the book, Ali.
Yeah, so this is why I do that. It's just publicity.
Did you know ahead of time that you were going to rub the acorn's head?
Yeah. I planned to rub it more, but he was rougher than I thought.
Oh, well. Okay, Mike?
Okay, Champ. Yeah. Sometime I'd like to have you come to dinner if you could. My mom's a good cook, and anytime you're welcome.
You know where you live?
Bartlett.
Okay.
You know, I this is the sort of guy, you know, that just might show up some night, Mike.
All your neighbors, guess who's coming to dinner?
I'd show you a good time, Champ. No problem.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And Mary Lou, say good morning to Muhammad Ali.
Good morning, Champ. How are you?
Fine, darling.
Very good. I have a kind of a silly question, I guess it would be. I see a lot of these different athletes on TV either doing endorsements or starring in motion pictures. And I was wondering if someday you would be doing the same, either starring in like a character role or advertising for Mr. Clark.
Yes, I'm doing a TV series now called Freedom Road. We started in 6 months. It's a six-hour movie. It'll be a three-part series on TV, 2 hours a day. It's about this black man who's came up from, in 1850, took place, I think, from slavery, won a seat in the Senate. And I'm playing this character, and NBC is going to promote this.
Good.
And we're going to start filming in Los Angeles in about six more months. But it's going to be a six-hour movie about this black man in slavery. He comes up to the White House in the Senate. And I'm going to start that. And I might be doing, I was talking to Beretta the other day. I might do a two-part series on Beretta. I'm not sure yet, but if I can find the right scripts, it's not embarrassing, it's not against my religious beliefs, it's not leading people the wrong way. If it's clean, I'll do it. So I'm looking into some of that.
Okay, Mary Lou?
I think that's great.
I think it's, by the way, did you see his movie, The Greatest?
Yes, I did, in fact.
And I think for a lot of us who had never seen him act before, I think we were kind of impressed.
The movie wasn't considered a big success, but my acting was, and that's what mainly I'm happy about. The movie didn't do that good.
Did you take much direction, or did you do...
Not at all. They just let me do what I want to do, and it was natural, they said. They didn't want me to take direction.
All right. That's interesting.
I don't think you would ever be able to do a Western. I'd love to see one aboard.
Well, I can ride a horse, but I don't think I would do a Western, because when the West actually... these things took place... We didn't have, I don't know, maybe
yeah,
we,
Black
we had some
Bart.
Black, we had some Black Cowboys, I don't know.
Oh, did you see Blazing Saddles?
I might one day look into it, but I'm not too much into movies. I like real life drama. Movies is just acting. I like the real thing.
Actually, you know, the thing that disappointed those who enjoyed The Greatest was that it did not become more of a successful motion picture. Would you consider the fact that maybe your real life story is more exciting than what they could put on the screen?
Well, my real life story couldn't be put on the screen. None of our real life stories we have on the screen, I'm very sure.
Mary Lou, thank you for the call.
Not the real truth. Not the real truth.
Bye-bye, Mary Lou.
Give me...
You know, it's 12 minutes before 11. Muhammad Ali is sitting with us here in the Roy Leonard Show. And I had hoped that maybe in this two-hour period that we're going to spend together today that we will discover something about this man that we hadn't known before. So far, I get an inkling of some things that I hadn't known before, but we still got time to find out. We'll take some more calls. Hey, you got your big brogans on this morning. Does that mean you're in training?
Yes, I'm in training. I wear these because they're heavy, and when you take them off, you're real light, and I'm getting ready for this Ledoux exhibition. I'm not going to be in fight shape, but I'll be in enough shape to do a good five rounds. And then I'm getting rid of the Sphinx fight also. It's getting cold and bad out here, man. I'm going to Florida.
I'm going to Miami soon.
Yeah, unfortunately, it is a little chilly in Chicago. But that's why we're going to warm things up 1 week from tonight for the Children's Institute. This is the benefit. Now, oh, by the way, I found out something. And let me take a break to mention this, because you know that beautiful white mother-of-pearl 1971 Toronado that people perhaps have seen around. In fact, if they saw the movie, if they saw The Greatest, yeah, they saw that. We were talking to the people at the King's Speed Shop in Lansing, and they come up with, I think, a pretty good deal. They are going to give to the person who pledges the largest amount to this benefit, they are going to give them two seats to watch the exhibition next Friday night with Scott Ledoux. They're going to have a chauffeur-driven ride to the Auditorium Theater in this beautiful car of yours, and then they're going to have dinner with you the following day.
And then come back to my dressing room, Anderson. They can come back to my dressing room and sit and talk with me and see what I go through just before I go out and be back in the dressing room after that. And then we'll spend a little time together after I knock this chump out.
All right. But here's what... Now, that's going to happen. That's going to happen to...
But it's going to cost them.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Because it's either an individual or a business or somebody who's got a lot of dough who wants to pledge the largest amount to this Children's Institute benefit. Now, I'm going to give you the number down at the King's Speed Shop.
Give them time to get the pencils now. All of you all now, just pull over in your car and run out in the living room and get your pencils.
All right, because you're going to have to call this number to make the pledge. 474-6565. Now, this is for the heavy rollers. 474-6565.
Let me say it slow.
All right.
474-6565. That's easy. 6565.
That's good. All right. So you spent some time before and after the exhibition with the champ. You get a chauffeur-driven ride in that beautiful mother-of-pearl car, and then you're going to have dinner with him the following day.
If it's a man, I want you to meet the prettiest girl in the world. That'll make him get it.
Call that number, guys. In fact, you can call our number and talk to Muhammad Ali right after we take this break. Yeah. Now, I understand what you said a minute ago. If a guy should decide to donate the largest amount of money and win this special thing, you said, you know, you'd have somebody pretty for him to meet. I mean, what if a lady decides to donate?
She'd meet me.
Oh, all right. You're going to meet a lady right now, champ. Mary, did you have a question for the champ?
Yeah, hi, Roy. Hi, Mohammed.
Well, how are you?
Oh, I love you.
Oh, I love you, too. I hope my wife don't hear me.
Listen, I really do. And I, you know something? I would never watch a fight unless you were doing it. Because
ain't
I
you
hate,
nice?
I
Thank
just
you.
Absolutely hate boxing.
I love to hear that because this is the worst image I try to portray is the type that draw people who don't follow boxing, which makes an extraordinary crowd. And I'm glad to hear you say that.
I got a question for you, Mohammed. Now, I don't know if this is true or not, but you know what I see in you that maybe others don't?
Please don't tell everybody that. Because you messed my whole thing up.
All right, now, can I tell
it? Please don't tell me. What is it?
I see a certain shyness in you. And I wonder if I'm not right. If
you're
a lot
right.
of this
you're
that
right.
you put on is just what that is a put on. And basically, you're a very shy, humble person.
I'm a good actor, and you're telling the truth. I don't know about how humble I am, but I am shy.
I see that in you, Mohammed. Mainly when I'm
out on an airplane, on a nightclub, or at a party, and I see a real pretty lady, and I just don't know how to say hello.
But I see that in you, and I see a humility in you, too.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you bring this up, Mary. There's a... Wilford Sheed is a fine English writer, and there have been a lot of books written about this guy, but I think Wilford wrote one of the best ones, I think, anyway.
That big picture book?
Yeah, right.
That was the worst.
You thought it was the worst?
That's what
we're going to have our first fight. Anyway, no, but Wilford said, no, he said in the book, he said, he is a humble man.
I can see it,
quote, unquote. I'm interested that you didn't like that one.
No,
is it? Well, he never came to any conclusions. He just offered...
A lot of things in that book about the religion, about a lot of things. I didn't read it. My manager read it, and he told me it was the worst, the good best pictures ever put out. The worst book ever written, so many of them. Now, he may have said a few good things, like with the quote you just mentioned, but basically it's a terrible book.
Yeah, but you know what, Roy and Mohammed? Humility, being the greatest of all virtues next to charity, people don't go around saying they're humble, but when other people say it of you, well, then it must be true.
You saw something, Mary, and Wilford saw something, and it's very obvious here in the studio. He doesn't have to say it.
I know, and another thing, too, Mohammed, you are terribly, terribly handsome.
Oh, honey, please.
And I hope you never get that beautiful face of yours.
Thank you. I sure got like to give you a big hug. You my number one.
I'd like to give you what you
my number
my
one.
Hey, you know, hey, Mary, he's blushing. It's hard to tell, but he's blushing.
Oh, please.
Thanks for the call.
Oh, man. Craig, do we really have to take a break? I want to keep listening to Roy Leonard and
Muhammad.
Mary was the sweetest.
Another King Muhammad. That was so sweet.
He was
what
very
nice
sweet,
lady.
And he was so patient and but he was kind of doing her voice back at her.
Yeah.
And it was so lovely. That was Roy Leonard interviewing Muhammad Ali in 1977. More after this on 720 WGN.
Come on.
You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio, joined by Brendan C. Price. He is a writer, performer, singer. He's a jack of many trades, I would say. The mastermind behind Vamp, a music, comedy, and drinking show at MCL, which is on Southport and MCL. The Sheffield? Which one is it?
It's the MCL is not a road.
I know, but
Belmont and Sheffield.
There it is. Mm-hmm. There it is. It's near the Vic Theater. Across
Absolutely.
Street.
Right across the street.
Right across the street. And I directed some tourists to your location for Saturday,
you
but apparently
much.
You weren't there.
It was one of the two Saturdays of the year we take off.
Why we
take off the Christmas Saturday. MCL actually has a really cool program called Premiere Premieres, which is a week-long festival they do of all new and original Chicago created musicals. Mm. And so they have a competition, and it's one gets a giant free run, but usually two or three out of the whole thing come out as successful runs either at MCL or at other places, and it's really cool because it gives a lot of people opportunities to get their material produced in a really professional way without having to spend so much money and workshopping stuff in front of a lot of people. So I'll gladly take one Saturday off to support something like that.
That is a great reason to take a Saturday night off. And what do you have? Oh. Have you done that already? That was so fast. Never mind. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. I'm trying to decide, Craig, on the last topic for because we have so many we didn't get to. Almost feels like we should go back to what we meant to get to, but we really are enjoying doing our last call. Who do we have tonight? I have to remember who we're going to call tonight.
I don't remember.
Well, we've got some phone numbers.
Okay.
We've got some choices. Oh, I think I know who we'll do. I think we'll do Sandak tonight. He started following me on Twitter today, which was creepy.
There you go. So we're going to call him.
Yeah, Representative Sandak.
Anyone who follows you on Twitter, we should call those people.
I probably should figure out like if people are going to warn him or not. Here are our two choices. We were going to talk about travel apps that everyone should, free travel apps that everyone should download. We were going to talk about... tardiness might be a sign of insanity. I think we should go to that one.
That's what science says.
Science says that tardiness might be a sign of insanity.
Clinically linked to being insane, yeah.
I think that's got to be sort of a skewed sampling. not because I'm often tardy. Those who chronically are tardy to engagement struggle with how they view time and may have a bizarre compulsion to defeat themselves by making plans they know they cannot possibly keep.
Hmm. You know, I feel like I try to plan hours in advance to make something and still never do.
Yeah.
So I'm just like pitifully insane.
I mismanage time. I would say I'm more of a mismanager of time. Esmeralda, how would you categorize yourself? Are you punctual?
No. Mm-mm. No, not at all.
How about you, Craig?
I sometimes I think I make it. It depends. It depends on what's happening, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm like half and half.
I feel like insanity is a strong word for
that. I think so, too.
Time is
insanity
such a relative
seems to be a strong
thing,
word.
Right? So it's such a construct in our own minds. Like, what is it really?
Yeah. I don't think that they call us clips, by the way, people who are...
Science does believe that it's possible to change, by the way. While most psychologists agree there is no cure to chronic lateness, it is possible to change.
I agree.
Change is possible.
I have to say, showing up places either early or on time is the fact that it's weird for me shows you how much I am late.
Keep them wanting more.
I don't think that's really...
Last to arrive, first to leave. People be like, oh, man, that one chick, though.
Yeah, it's just... No, I don't like... I hate making people wait. I think I've gotten better at making people wait. I don't do that as often.
I am better at managing people's expectations of how late and tardy and immature I am.
Yeah, I always like when people are just floored by my on-timeness. Yes, Craig?
By the way, there's another quote in here from the professor at the University of Michigan who did this study, and he said, if chronic lateness is an illness, then so is chronic tendency to interrupt, which maybe I do have, chronic tendency to run red lights, and chronic failure to shine your shoes. Those are apparently also examples of being
lunatics.
Insane.
Lunatics.
Yeah.
Ooh, crazy people.
Your shoes are scuffed,
do
clearly.
People? Professor Richard Nesbitt is the one who did this study.
Is that an adult thing that still happens? Shoe shining? Like people still shine their shoes?
Yes. No, they do. It's a big thing. I used to work at a shoe place.
They do. You can get one right across the street.
I don't even think I've ever had a shoe with that which could be shined.
You have to have shoes that go with a suit.
Yeah,
do you have a suit?
Dress shoes.
I have the one suit that I've worn.
So do you have shoes that are shiny that go with said suit?
Mm-hmm. I had those patent ones, but everyone made fun of me, so I stopped wearing them.
Oh, but we didn't make fun of you.
Yeah, we didn't make fun of you.
You looked around like we made fun of you.
What do you wear with your suit now? Sneakers?
No, I mean, like, you know, they don't seem... Like, I feel like if you got water or something on them, it would go poorly.
You should wear the patent.
You should wear the patent.
Top tip.
We want to see the patent leather shoes. Do.
Top tip, you can clean them with Windex.
Mm-hmm. Well.
There you go.
True.
I'm glad to know that that is still a thing we're supposed to do.
Esmeralda, do you think in a pinch it's okay to put some lotion on your boots, like leather boots to...
Oh, well, yeah, lotioning your leather boots.
I mean, that's... Because like, it's like skin.
Right. Well, what do you use when you do it properly?
I'm really confused by sort of Brandon lotion. C. Price,
because
he seems like very much in agreement, but then he also seemed like he was being sarcastic.
And that's the beauty of him.
Do you lotion your boots, Brandon?
She puts a lotion on her boots.
No, you put them on top of sticks or bats or shotguns in your truck, and you let them dry out every once in a while.
This is your cowboy
you
boots.
You stick them in between the bed of your truck and the cab of your truck, and they'd stick up, and then they dry out when you're driving. And I don't think you need lotion if you do that.
I never clean them, though. I take them somewhere.
Yeah, I'm going to take my boots.
And then they do it because I don't know how that works.
Gloves. You can lotion baseball gloves.
Yeah. Well, neat's foot oil is probably the best way
to
go.
Then you park on them with your truck. Again, truck is a big accessory for leather goods.
You roll a truck over your glove?
Yeah, you park. You put a baseball in your baseball glove.
Or tennis ball.
Park on it and it breaks it in.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Leave it for hours. Or under your bed is actually
where we always put mine.
Yeah.
Well, if you don't have a truck, I guess a bed would work.
Yeah, we don't have trucks. We just
for a second, I thought you were saying, well, if we don't have a bed.
Esmeralda, that's a third great use for trucks.
Did Brandon sound a little judgy for people who don't have trucks?
I miss my truck every day.
What kind of truck?
I had a 5.9 liter that is bigger than the Hemi. Yes, Craig.
What's a Hemi?
Hemi is a hemispherical engine chamber.
Truth. A lot of truck people are very proud of their Hemi, apparently.
Yeah, it's a Mopar engine. It's Dodge. They're big, nice engine. I had an engine that made that engine look stupid. but it was in a 1500. That thing was 1998. It had so much torque. It would, if you floored it on the line, it would sit down in the back for a second before it went forward.
Did you have oversized wheels as well?
By oversized, you mean
monster
like
wheels?
Awesome.
Right. Yeah, correctly sized wheels?
I had 315s, and the truck was blocked, so it was unraked. It was lifted a little bit, but it wasn't like jacked up.
Did it look like a monster truck?
It looked like man awesomeness.
What happened?
Well, I lived on dirt roads, to be fair. This wasn't compensation.
Oh, we're not
this
trying to be fair.
No. What happened to your dirt monster truck?
It got 9 miles to the gallon, and I moved to Chicago. And even I, as impractical as a human as I am, decided to not bring that thing here.
And have you ever
parked that anywhere?
No. Yeah. How would you parallel park that in Chicago? Have you ever parallel parked it?
No. Or in Texas, in West Texas, you just kind of pull up where the yard ends. That's true.
I don't know why we're laughing. We're just like...
I'm going to take y'all to Cisco, Texas one day.
Where is Cisco, Texas?
It's about 45 minutes northeast of Abilene, Texas.
All right. I've been to Abilene.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Abilene is gigantic compared to Cisco's like 3,000 people.
All right.
It's a good time. Well,
is that a road trip or is that a fly into?
It requires a truck and leather boots, Esmeralda.
All right, then.
Like cowboy boots?
Yes. Very much like those.
Are you allowed to lotion said boots or?
Not, I don't think visibly.
We're
going to invite Phil to the barn fire, but he was
lotioning
his boots.
I got wide feet. I can't deal with cowboy boots.
Well, there's some that have like more square box, like for the toes. Like our good friend Dr. Daphne Scott has a beautiful pair of cowboy boots that are not the big pointy ones.
Like with the designs and all that? I'm just going to get me some of those Mexican ones.
Mm-hmm.
The big points.
There's a couple of stores in Chicago where we can get some of those. Where what are you shaking your head at, Craig?
There is a cowboy store in Chicago on Chicago Avenue, I believe.
There is. I bought a palm leaf there not too long ago.
We can do a overbite air and go to the cowboy store.
Let's go to the cowboy store as
well.
No, I went to Taste of Little Village, and there's a lot of that. Dudes wearing their cowboy hats and their big old boots.
The caballeros?
Yeah.
I don't appreciate the accent you just put on as you
the cowboy
said that
boots.
Phrase. Esmeralda?
Well, it's funny. She's probably talking about Latinos.
Their big old boots.
That is not a Latino accent.
No, it's
I'm so Latino, y'all.
I actually thought it looked. I thought it looked really cool, though, on the women because they're wearing like little plaid shirts and mm-hmm. a little cowboy hat. Mm-hmm.
Do they have like jean skirts? Jeans or jean skirts?
Jeans.
So
they look cool. It looked like they're about to go
hop on a
wrangle
horse,
a cow or something. I don't know.
Cow wrangling.
What?
It's getting away, Jasper.
I want a better explanation of what he's making fun of specifically. Is it that it's cow wrangling and that's too easy?
Yes, it is. Like wrangling.
So you'd have to wrangle something else.
There's calf wrestling.
Sure.
But wrangling a cow just seems. I don't know. No,
there's
you're right.
There's got to be some wily ones, right?
You're absolutely right.
I mean, if the bulls are all, you know, jaunty, I'm guessing the cow's got to have their days.
There's got to be a way to train to get to the bull eventually.
I don't want you in here anymore.
You should start with a cow and work your way up to a bull. That makes sense.
Cantankerous? I don't know. What would you call them? Bulls get a little rascally. Angry.
Disappointed in you.
And a cow never gets disappointed or angry?
Cow? No, absolutely they do. The cow wrangling, in the definition of both the word cow and wrangling, makes sense and is practical. It's just not a commonly used term, I don't think.
Do you rodeo?
No. I mean, I've certainly been to a lot. And as a kid, you do like the pig wrestling or the calf wrestling and that kind of stuff.
You know, we're missing out on an opportunity for a segment on this show. Yes. Brandon teaches us Southern stuff.
And you guys, I'm in Banjo Rep 3. I could pretty much play us an intro.
Bring your banjo.
Doesn't have much of a place in
and
Texas.
Teach
music,
us Southern stuff.
You guys
do you
know
how to ham bone?
Can you ham bone?
What is Esmeralda doing?
It's drumming on yourself.
Ham-boning.
She wasn't really ham-boning, though. She was pantomiming ham-boning.
Is that with spoons?
She's got two sets of spoons.
I think that's spooning.
No, I'll show you spoon.
Okay. Oh, boy.
I am so lost.
Ding, ding, ding. Yes, okay, new segment. New segment every Monday.
Yeah, you teach us Southern stuff.
Going south with Brandon C. Price.
Like
so when you're children, you do pig wrestling.
Yeah, I mean, like you can wrestle a lot of small animals. Or the baby
For
versions
example.
Of large
this
animals.
Is like after Sunday school? All right, boys and girls, we're going outside.
No, there's a line, and you start on the same side of the pen as a calf. And if you can get the calf to the ground before the calf crosses the line, you win.
So the small animal, is that for a child? As a child in the South, do you wrestle a small animal, and then when you become an adult?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. A calf in my mind was a small rodeo animal compared to large rodeo animals.
Got it. Okay, good.
It sounds like... high school wrestling.
Yeah, it
does. You have to be at weight.
Right.
No, most certainly. Any kid can go in there and get as injured as they'd like. God. You don't have to be any sized. But then,
starting at what age are you lining up on the other side of the pen?
Yeah, when do you start wrestling small animals?
I mean, I was young. You can do this young.
What was the first animal you wrestled, Brandon?
I mean, now I had got, this is a Texas tradition, and I didn't move to Texas until I was like 13 or 14, and even West Texas was more of young adults, but I would say 8, 10, this is certainly like the Boy Scouts are involved.
Did you wrestle an animal when you were a young child, though?
Well, no, we used to play a game as adults in Texas called Ride the Stranger's Mule, so people will have, this is true. People have mules or donkeys in amongst with goats and chickens and things because they'll protect them from coyotes. Donkeys don't screw around with those dudes.
Sorry.
So of course they don't like to be touched or ridden or told what to do. So if you're dirt roading at night and you've had some beers with your friends,
sure, of course,
and the first pasture you come up with goats or anything that has a donkey in it, there's some sort of betting game takes place, and the loser must at least attempt to get on top of.
What's the betting game?
It can chug beers. You can play cards.
You just bet how many minutes you stay on the.
No, it's just some sort of game to decide who's the loser who will have to do this. And it's a good time. I hate that this was all pre cell phone cameras, or I would show you my friend Calvin right before we took him to the hospital.
Is he all right now?
What do you guys do for fun?
We didn't wrestle anything.
I went to Starbucks.
Somebody call in if I'm just making this all up, but I'm
312.
Sure, I'm sure I've got some people
981
that are not originally from the city listening right now going, that was my childhood too.
7200. Let us know if that was your childhood or if you think he's just pulling our collective legs. 312-981-7200. We mentioned before we were going to call Representative Sandak. You know what I realized, Craig? I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong. But have we only called Republican legislators?
I believe that is correct.
Okay, so let's pick up.
Outside of Katowski, we have, although
he's no longer serving.
Correct.
So here are your choices: Leader Lou Lang, Representative Martwick. How do I have more numbers for?
That is surprising to some.
That's a little bit strange.
Yeah. I would say Leader Lou. Let's start big.
Let's go big or go home.
Yeah.
All right, Leader Lou is going to be our wake up call tonight.
I hope he doesn't answer.
I hope not too.
Right.
I don't think he will.
Good.
Almost
no one does.
No legislator has ever answered their phone during the last call.
Almost no one in the history of this segment has answered their phone.
No. John Cass.
John Cass is one of a couple.
John Cass answered once. He's a columnist for the Chicago Tribune.
Well, he answered twice.
Yes, that's right. He answered once and played along. And then said he thought it was really funny. Told Craig anytime.
Call him anytime.
Oh, yeah.
So we called him again a few weeks later.
Click.
And he hung up on us.
Click.
On the air.
Yeah. Click. I think we just gone around the you know, the horn giving our names.
Right.
I think and I still have my voicemail. That happened to me, right? Or you called me. You called me from this.
Yeah,
one,
we
right?
called you.
Yeah, we did.
I texted him. I was like, so sorry I missed it. He's like, that's kind of the
that's
point.
That's the point.
Totally the point. Yep. We don't want
I
you.
I did
to
save that voicemail though. Mm-hmm.
Good.
Yep. We have not heard from the legislators. We've asked them to pay it forward and give us numbers of legislators they would like us to call, and they have not done.
Reach
that.
Across the aisle, guys. Come
I know.
On.
I don't know how they're not giving us Democrats numbers.
Call anybody.
I'm they probably don't have them.
I know, maybe they're just not.
I don't think
they talk to each other ever. Yeah, right, I'm not sure.
Well, the Representative Anthony and Representative Feigenholz got along
true.
Very well
in studio.
They did at the
for
end
the first budget crisis corner.
Yes, and they did. But at the end, they did kind of like, now hold on a second. There, they got a little of that going on, which was fun.
By the way, that is available on our Facebook page. If you go to Pretty Late on Facebook, you can see the post with the podcast for that segment.
Yes, please like our page. That sounded a little desperate, didn't it? Please like our page.
Facebook.com. Really cool on the internet.
Facebook.com/PattyV Show.
Patty V Show with an I.
There.
Yes.
Yeah.
And if you search Patty, Pretty Late, if you just search Pretty Late on Facebook, it just like that. Mm-hmm. It doesn't
pretty
make that
big
noise.
Deal on the Facebook.
That would be very
strange. We got to pay Facebook to make that noise.
Yes. Whoop. That was a bad noise. Don't use that. Yeehaw. Can we get that? Can we get a yeehaw?
Sometimes I make up Southern colloquialisms to my friends.
You guys want to take a break and figure out who to call?
All right. No, we're
two
calling.
Dogs in a mailbox, Craig.
That sounds like a party. More after this on 720 WG. We're about to wrap up here. Nick D is up in just a few moments. But before we leave, we do have our Pretty Late last call, wake-up call, whatever you want to call it now. And we aspire to, between now and a budget resolution is arrived at. I don't know how else to put that sentence because it seems so out of the realm of possibility at this time.
We got
a lot of time. We are calling legislators. We are calling, if we can get the number for Rahm Emanuel and Governor Rauner, we will do so as well. Right now, we are calling Leader Lou Lang, who is a good friend of the show, and I hope that continues to be the case after he realizes we've called him at 2 in the morning. But I'm really, we do kind of always hope that it just goes to voicemail. I know, there's that moment where it's quiet.
We really hope it just goes
really
to voicemail.
Yeah, we really just hope it goes.
How many people keep their cell phones on?
I do.
I mean,
okay.
These all ring through, so they have to be on, yeah?
Well, but it could be silent.
It can be silent.
Yeah. I put mine in the...
This is Lou Lang. Please leave a message.
Oh, it's his own voice on the outgoing message.
Tone, please record your message. When you've finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Hi, Leader Lou. It's Patty Vasquez.
Craig Collins.
Esmeralda Leon.
Brandon C. Price.
And we are calling you as part of our Pretty Late last call. We have resolved. I think we can say we've resolved on the Pretty Late show to call all of our legislators every night as our last element of the show. And until the budget is resolved, and we don't think that's ever going to happen, so hopefully you don't mind if we double back on you anytime soon. We also encourage you to provide the numbers of other legislators you would like us to call, either on your side of the aisle or on the other side. We were going to call Representative Sandak, but we realized that we've only been calling Republicans, and I decided we should probably... We try to be very balanced. But then I tried to check for more numbers, and I realized I mostly have Republicans' phone numbers. I don't know why that is. But
it's telling.
It is. It's
either one way or the other, though. So you're still a mystery.
Yeah, I'm a mystery. I do. I have a Representative Anthony's. I have Senator Connolly's. I have Representative Sandak, Senator Berrickman, Representative Cabello. And we've called almost all.
Yeah, we've called almost all those people. So, hey, Leader Lou.
Representative Martwick is going to be next on the list. But we talked to him so much.
We talked to him a lot.
A lot. Representative Feigenholz has been on the show.
Yeah.
Ooh, speaking of which, Leader Lou, we're hoping we can have you on the show on a Friday night sometime in the near future. We are doing a new segment called the Budget Crisis Corner, where we have one representative or senator that is a Republican, the other is a Democrat, to sort of hash it out and give our listeners an opportunity to hear both sides of the story.
That's a great segment.
Thank you. I'm very proud of that one. And actually, Leader Lou posted on his Facebook page a story about how the governor has said he spoke to many Democrats over the weekend, and many of the Democrats in our legislature have been posting that they didn't receive any such phone call. So we're waiting to hear which Democrats those were, but so far we know.
I'm so glad it's going well.
Oh, it's going very well. Oh, the best part is the governor blaming Chicago. And here's the thing. Today the governor said that the Chicago schools are crumbling prisons. And that's, for the most part, not true. There have been some people who have been sharing on Facebook photos of schools that are deteriorating. They have crumbling walls and paint, the ceilings are just starting to come apart. So, I mean, there are, in fact, schools that are in need of infrastructure and rebuilding, as a matter of fact. But I don't see how you blame children for mismanagement, right? Yeah, fine. All right, the state of Illinois, the city of Chicago, mistakes have been made. Okay, that's true of everything across the board. Now what? So these kids are not going to have school starting in September? That's just right out the door.
That'll teach them.
Yes, that'll teach the city of Chicago.
Take away the children's education.
Yeah, I don't...
Fix stuff.
It doesn't make any sense.
Well, it's more important to find why there's a problem than what could possibly fix it.
Right.
Whose fault... I want to know whose fault everything is. I don't care about fixing anything.
Who do you want to ask?
Anybody who's got anything negative to say about the past that we can't change, let's hash that out.
See, you're getting how asinine this all is.
Yeah.
I like the word asinine. I don't think it's used nearly enough on this show.
It is not. We should use it more.
We really need to use that word.
We'll have a bell every time we use it.
Asinine. Can we do that?
Seven was checking out eight, and then eight said, "Did you see that asinine?"
Hi, Leader Lou.
Hi, Leader Lou. All right, Leader
joke.
Leader Lou's on the line. Vic Vaughn is up in the newsroom. Perhaps he wants to say hi to Leader Lou as well.
Good morning.
Good morning. Do you have any more news about the city of Chicago being responsible entirely for the woes of the state of Illinois?
Yeah, is that a new newscast coming up?
Is that your update?
Is it Chicago's fault?
Yeah, we've got some updates coming up this morning. Is it Chicago's fault?
Entirely Chicago's fault.
100%.
I don't comment on whose fault it is. I just bring you the news.
Oh, okay. Wow, I wasn't sure if you got the facts.
Do you guys all say good morning because it's technically morning, or did some of you guys, like, why I woke up just now for this?
I apologize. I think, Patty, we're not supposed to acknowledge that it's morning yet.
Oh, there are no rules here, Vic.
Did I call you out, Vic? I'm sorry.
Whose show is that?
Our show has at times said that we feel like it's still night.
Yes.
I thought I heard
But we're
that.
Not going to dictate what you say.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, good morning.
Good morning,
Vic.
Good day, sir. Good day,
good day
I said.
To you.
I said good day.